Nicola, St. Helena, California, May 14, 1906. Dr. Nicola. Dear Brother Nicola, I was very much pleased to receive a letter from you regarding the sanitarium at Melrose. I have not been situated so that I could respond sooner. Early in April, we were called upon to attend the dedicatory exercises of two of our Southern California sanitariums, at Loma Linda, near Redlands, and at Paradise Valley, near San Diego. We also visited the Glendale Sanitarium, near Los Angeles, and have just returned home. At Loma Linda, arrangements were made for an out-of-door service. During the forenoon, the friends of the institution began to come in, and at noon, a lunch was served to all. Early in the afternoon, the people gathered together for the dedication. Seats had been placed on the lawn, under the shadow of a beautiful grove of pepper trees. In front was a large platform, on which were seated the speakers and the singers. I was present only a portion of the time. There were several speakers, and the time was limited. I spoke with freedom for nearly half an hour. How I wish, Brother Nicola, that you and your wife could have been present to enjoy this occasion with us, and to look over the Loma Linda property. I cannot describe the place, for I have but little strength for writing. I will send you an illustrated booklet giving some idea of the buildings and surroundings. Loma Linda cost us $40,000. The original cost was nearly three times this sum. There were 76 acres of land in the tract, and 30 have been added since. As a sanitarium site, the property is a valuable one. The grounds have been carefully laid out, at great expense to the original owners, and are beautified by well-kept lawns and flower gardens. The surrounding scenery varies, in many respects, from that seen from the grounds of the New England Sanitarium, but the extensive view is fully as magnificent as the Melrose view. There is more improved land about Loma Linda, including many square miles of bearing orange groves. Like Melrose, one of the chief advantages of situation at Loma Linda is the pleasing variety of charming scenery. We believe that both places have come into our possession to be used to the very best advantage possible for sanitarium purposes. But more important than magnificent scenery and beautiful buildings and spacious grounds is the close proximity of these institutions to densely populated districts and the opportunity thus afforded of communicating to many, many people a knowledge of the third angel's message. We are to have clear spiritual discernment, else we shall fail of understanding the opening providences of God that are preparing the way for us to enlighten the world. The great crisis is just before us. Now is the time for us to sound the warning message by the agencies that God has given us for this purpose. Let us remember that one most important agency is our medical missionary work. Never are we to lose sight of the great object for which our sanitariums are established, the advancement of God's closing work in the earth. Loma Linda is in the midst of a very rich district, including three important cities, Redlands, Riverside, and San Bernardino. This field must be worked from Loma Linda, as Boston must be worked from Melrose. When the New England Sanitarium was removed from South Lancaster to Melrose, the Lord instructed me that this was in the order of His opening providence. The buildings and grounds at Melrose are of a character to recommend our medical missionary work, which is to be carried forward not only in Boston, but in many other unworked cities in New England. The Melrose property is such that conveniences can be provided that will draw to that sanitarium persons not of our faith. The aristocratic as well as the common people will visit that institution to avail themselves of the advantages offered for restoration of health. Boston has been pointed out to me repeatedly as a place that must be faithfully worked. The light must shine in the outskirts and in the inmost parts. The Melrose Sanitarium is one of the greatest agencies that can be employed to reach Boston with the truth. The city and its suburbs must hear the last message of mercy to be given to our world. Tent meetings must be held in many places. The workers must put to the very best use the abilities God has given them. The gifts of grace will increase by wise use. But there must be no self-exaltation. No precise lines are to be laid down. Let the Holy Spirit direct the workers. They are to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. The work for this great city will be signalized by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, if all will walk humbly with God.
We hear that something is now being done in Boston.
We are rejoiced to learn, through a report in a recent review, of Elder Wheeler's work as pastor of the Boston Church, and of the work of his faithful co-laborers. We are also pleased to learn that Elder Gilbert has been laboring in Everett, a suburb. We hope that those in charge of the work in New England will cooperate with the Melrose Sanitarium managers in taking aggressive steps to do the work that should be done in Boston. 100 workers could be laboring to advantage in different portions of the city in varied lines of service. The terrible disasters that are befalling great cities ought to arouse us to intense activity in giving the warning message to the people in these congested centers of population, while we still have an opportunity. The most favorable time for the presentation of our message in the cities has passed by. Sin and wickedness are rapidly increasing, and now we shall have to redeem the time by laboring all the more earnestly. The medical missionary work is a door through which the truth is to find entrance to many homes in the cities. In every city will be found those who will appreciate the truths of the third angel's message. The judgments of God are impending. Why do we not awaken to the peril threatening the men and women living in the cities of America? Our people do not realize as keenly as they should the responsibility resting upon them to proclaim the truth to the millions dwelling in these unwarned cities. There are many souls to be saved. Our own souls are to be firmly grounded in a knowledge of truth, that we may win others from error to the truth. We need now to search the Scriptures diligently, and as we become acquainted with unbelievers, we are to hold up Christ as the anointed, the crucified, the risen Savior, witnessed to by prophets, testified of by believers, and through whose name we receive the forgiveness of our sins. We need now a firm belief in the truth. Let us understand what is truth. Time is very short. Whole cities are being swept away. Are we doing our part to give the message that will prepare a people for the coming of their Lord? May the Lord help us to improve the opportunities that are ours.